26 before. Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm sorry. I got your attention. You looked at the radio saying, what's he sorry for? Well, those are the two words that are very often difficult for you and I to say, right? When you're in a relationship to say, I'm sorry, you can take the other for granted at times and you tend to push their buttons at times and you think, well, you know, they'll forgive me. I really don't have to say anything. I'll just be nicer. Let's talk a little bit about that need to forgive and also unforgiveness. Is unforgiveness going on in your life? I bet you never even thought of it that way. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti is a member of our morning family, an associate professor at the School of Theology and Religious Studies at Catholic University in Washington, D.C. Monsignor is also a licensed psychologist talking about the need for you and me to forgive and also what unforgiveness is. Monsignor, good morning. Welcome back to Morning Air.
Good morning, John. Great to be back.
Why do you think, it's obviously a part of our original sin, but why do you think we revel so much in holding on to grudges?
Well, when people hurt us, we naturally feel obviously hurt and angry, and it's kind of a natural human response. But if it gets excessive or we don't work through it or we don't come to some forgiveness, it can end up poisoning us. And we see this all the time, people stuck in a kind of unforgiveness and anger, and they hold on to it. And we see the poison it does to their hearts.
What is the first step to get unstuck, as it were? Obviously the sacraments, but beyond that, before I walk into the confessional, before I receive Eucharist, what do I need to do?
Well, I would say, you know, as you know, I'm also a psychologist, and I would say underneath all the anger that we feel, because when we're hurt, we should try to get in touch with the pain, I mean, and grieve, you know, that we've been hurt in some way, and to grieve that, and then to turn to the Lord, ask for forgiveness. So starting with getting in touch with that inner pain and grieving. This forgiveness is really a process. It doesn't happen overnight.
And Satan wants to keep us there because we've got that false positive of, yeah, I'll show them, and you're the victim.
Right. Well, that's who Satan is. He's angry at God, and he's going to hold on to it for eternity. And if he lashes out at God, and because he can't affect God, he starts lashing out at us because he's a perpetually angry being. And he wants to make us like himself. Satan wants us to be angry and miserable and stuck in that rage just like he is. And by the way, I would add, sometimes I think terrorists try to do that to us too. You know, many of them are angry, revengeful, and when they commit these terrible acts of harm to innocent people, we naturally feel that kind of anger and we want revenge. And if we do that, we become like them.
Monsignor, we kind of live in a conflict culture, one that celebrates fighting, whether it be for entertainment or pseudo-news entertainment. It seems that it's lifted up to be mad and get revenge. How can we kind of step back from being just bathed in that?
Well, John, that's a good point. And I think, right, I think you've nailed it. This is a much larger issue in this country today, in this world. The world is becoming very polarized. Left, right, whatever you want to call it, Republican, Democrat, whatever. But people are so, they just won't talk to each other anymore. And we're becoming angry, and you see it on the streets. I mean, you see how angry people are and how they refuse to dialogue and compromise and forgive. And this is affecting our country. I mean, it's not good. It's affecting our church. It's not good.
Can we actually call ourselves pro-life if we can't forgive?
Well, I mean, I think it's right. Part of a larger understanding of pro-life is to really to love all of creation. Now, it doesn't mean we have to accept everything that happens. And when bad things happen, we shouldn't say, okay, it's okay, because it's not okay. But there's a difference between recognizing injustice and evil versus holding on to this sort of anger and resentment. There's a difference there.
When's it okay not to forgive?
Well, I've never actually, but we have to properly understand what forgiveness is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the big mistake, and I hope people are listening. Forgiveness does not mean I have to have a warm feeling about something. You know, should we have a warm feeling about Adolf Hitler and what the Nazis did in the war? No. Should we have a warm feeling about what terrorists do? or people who abuse others, abuse children. No, we shouldn't. We condemn such evils. But that anger we might feel, that sort of righteous anger, if you will, does not mean we are unforgiving. We forgive these people, but we don't accept their behavior. I'll give you a good example. I was very moved in 2015, and there was this terrorism act against Charleston, South Carolina church. Remember that historic African American church?
Sure.
And yeah, and the man, Dylan Roof, killed innocent people in their prayer meeting. And you know how the people responded? They were grieving. They said, "We lost loved ones." And here's what one woman said, Nadine Collier. She said, she testified. She said, "You took something very precious from me. I will never talk to her mother again. I will never hold her again, but I forgive you, and may God have mercy on your soul." I thought that those people in that church were a beautiful Christian witness for all of us.
Monsignor, we're instructed in the Our Father to ask God to forgive us as we forgive others. Do we need to bear that in mind, and how concrete is that?
Well, here's what I would say is a concrete step. I think as people are listening to this broadcast, think of perhaps the one person in your life who has harmed you the most, who has indeed, and we're sorry about that. First of all, it should not have never have happened, and the grudges that we're holding on to. And just say in your heart, "I forgive whoever it is, say the person's Dave or something, or John or Mark or whatever. I forgive this person. And I ask God to bless him or her." So I forgive this person. I ask God to bless. It's an act of the will. It doesn't mean I have a positive emotional feeling. It's not an emotional feeling. It's an act of the will. I choose to forgive. I choose to ask God to bless this person rather than cursing. Remember, Jesus says, "Do not curse. Return a curse with a blessing."
It's interesting that you say that, Monsignor, and you ask that question, Glenn, because in praying the Our Father at Mass on Sunday and yesterday as well, I just let go of all of those times the people have slighted me, and I couldn't even think about the individual instances. And then I also realized, and I think this is a gift from the Holy Spirit, Monsignor, how I was complicit in their actions as well. It's not like all on them. A lot of it was on me, so just kind of let go of that.
There can be. I mean, sometimes people are just strictly victims. I mean, for example, right. Child abuse, something like that. They're just strict victims.
Sure.
But there are other times, yes, when we are complicit, especially as adults. What I've noticed, though, is that when I've tried my own life to forgive and to love, Jesus said, "Love your enemies." He didn't say just kind of accept them. He said, "Love them."
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because this is who God is. God shines on the just and the unjust. So when we do that, we not only are more like God, but we're also free. One of the real problems when I work with victims of abuse is that when they hold on to the anger and the resentment, they stay as victims. They stay tied to their perpetrators. They stay as, you know, 8-year-old children or whatever, and they need to let go and to be freed. Now, it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight, but through prayer and through some work, we can get there.
Monsignor Stephen Rossetti joining us from Washington, where he's an associate professor at the School of Theology and Religious Studies at Catholic University and also a licensed psychologist. And we're talking about your need to forgive and also unforgiveness as well. And at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, how have you learned to forgive? How have you learned to forgive in your life? Or maybe you're still holding on to some resentment and we can give you some help. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. When is anger okay? Let's talk a little bit about anger because, you know, anger is a very big part of this. You know, you talked about righteous anger. You know, maybe we can define that a little bit more and when anger is okay and how we should address that anger with the person with whom we're angry.
Well, look at the life of our Lord. You know, Jesus, he actually was angry at the at evil. At one point in the scriptures, it says, you know, he looked at them with anger because they had closed their minds to him. So Jesus was angry. You know, sometimes I do this with confirmation kids. I say, you know, is it always a sin to be angry? And they say, well, yes. And they say, okay, well, the scripture passage says Jesus was angry. And they said, yes. So therefore, the syllogism, Jesus committed a sin, right? They go, yes. I said, no. Your problem is with the syllogism, the first one. It's not always a sin to be angry. And sometimes we should be angry against real injustice and evil. So Jesus was angry. And he loved the scribes and the Pharisees, but some of them were hypocrites. He said so. He practically screamed at them. He said, you whitened sepulchres, you hypocrites. You know, you swallow the camel, but you screen out the gnat, you know. So he spoke to them harshly, and they were angry because he pointed out that they, and but it was a call to forgiveness. He spoke to them because he loved them and wanted them to amend their evil ways.
Monsignor, maybe we ought to beware of folks who make that their favorite verse, that Jesus, you know, was angry, and of all the things he did, they seem to love to point that out. But I wanted to say, for me, one of the great stories of forgiveness that always pops out was that 2006 Amish school shooting, when 10 schoolgirls were killed and the shooter took his own life, and the Amish community in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, forgave that man, visited and comforted his family, and Amish mourners outnumbered his family at the shooter's own funeral.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, sometimes the people show us what Jesus meant and what he taught. And I think in that case, the Amish people did. It's very moving, just like the church in Charleston, South Carolina. And not only is it a great example for all of us, but it's better for them. You can be sure that these communities are holy places and these people are freed from the terrorism and the evil that was done to them.
It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app as we talk about forgiveness and the need to forgive with Monsignor Stephen Rossetti from Catholic University in Washington, D.C., also a licensed psychologist. And we're talking about your need to forgive. How have you done that? Or maybe you're still holding on to something that is holding you back spiritually. 888-914-9149 on the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line at 888-914-9149. And we start with Sam in Charlevoix, Michigan. Sam, good morning. You're on with Monsignor Rossetti. Welcome to Morning Air.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I've been in a 2-year battle to get custody of my grandson, and we've been through court, and it's not over yet. And my daughter and my granddaughter attacked me viciously and lied about me, and I forgive them, but I don't know if they have.
If they've forgiven you.
Heart.
Yeah.
No.
I tell God I forgive him, but my son said every time I talk about it, I get angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to lay it at the foot of the cross and just feel peace.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
I don't hate him.
Right, and I think you're doing what's right. I mean, you're trying to give it to Jesus, the foot of the cross. You're trying to forgive. Remember I said forgiveness doesn't mean that we're not hurt or we're not angry. Forgiveness is just an act of the will, and you've done that. You said, Lord, I forgive them. But you still feel the hurt, which is very understandable. You still feel the times, the anger, which is understandable. So these emotions are not a lack of forgiveness. They're really a sign of your love and the fact that you've been hurt.
Sam, we'll be praying for you today at Mass. I'll remember your intentions at Mass, and keep us updated if we can help you any further. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. In those very deep issues, how do you separate the emotion from the anger?
Well, it's very hard. I think we all, our hearts go out to Sam. We pray for her, and so many people like her are in tough situations. They want to do what's right. They're trying their best, but she keeps feeling the hurt and the anger. And she thinks there's something wrong with her before that. And it is not. I mean, when we've been hurt terribly, we are hurt and we are angry. That's okay. But then we make that act of the will. We say, Lord, help me to forgive. I do forgive and as an act of the will, and help me to move through these emotions. She would like to feel a sense of peace, but right now she's in a terrible conflict, which is, so sometimes you can't feel that peace that you'd like to, that you're in the midst of a very painful situation. And so, like our Lord's cross, I mean, as she said, you bear the cross of Jesus, and that's what, sadly but important, that's what God has for us at this moment.
Monsignor, do we tend to forgive in the way and amount we've been forgiven, and kind of need to know whether that's going to help or hurt us as we try to move forward and forgive others?
Well, I think we, of course, as we grow up, we learn these kinds of things from hopefully our parents and in our families. So when we grow up in a loving environment and a forgiving environment, that's one of the beautiful things about parenthood. I mean, one of the graces of being a parent is really just to love your children, even though sometimes they can be can be difficult. And so I think when children experience that my parents still love me, even though I acted like a troll, that they kind of know what that experience is. And it helps us understand who God is. I mean, I think parents, the image of a loving parent helps us to understand who God is, that we can act badly, and we do. But God still looks at us and smiles at us and loves us and forgives us. So we learn that.
Monsignor Rossetti, how do the graces of the Sacrament of Reconciliation, the graces of confession, help us with the clarity of thought to achieve that forgiveness that we so desperately need in our lives if we're holding on to some kind of grudge?
Well, I hear confessions often, and I love it. It's a beautiful sacrament, and I encourage many people to go. Many people have this idea that, and I hear it all the time, I don't want to go to confession because I don't want to tell the priest this because my sin is too great. It's too awful. The first thing I say to people, look, the priest has heard it before. So when you walk into that confessional, you confess X, Y, or Z, he's heard it a dozen times or thousands of times. So you're not gonna polarize the priest or anything. He's gonna be fine. But we do. So God forgives any sin when we come to Him and we confess our sins. It's hard for us to recognize that. That there's nothing we can do that God will not forgive if we come in the spirit of true repentance and wants us to come. What God is desirous as looking for us. What did God do when Adam and Eve had sinned? He went out looking for them in the garden. He said, "Where are you?" And God does that to us, as the prodigal son found out when the loving father went to the edge of the property waiting for his son to come home.
Talking about the need to forgive, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, an associate professor at the School of Theology and Religious Studies at Catholic University in Washington, D.C., also a licensed psychologist, in helping you with forgiveness at 888-914-9149. Mary in Illinois, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Monsignor Rossetti.
Good morning. I just wanted to call in and share my experience of forgiveness. My husband had an affair, and it was a very tremendous devastation for me. But I never stopped praying. I continued to pray through the grief, through the betrayal and hurt. And I did hear God's voice asking me to trust in Him and to be able to trust Him in this situation, and initially I didn't want to. I just was ready to throw in the towel, and I even sought an attorney for a divorce. However, I continued to pray. I went to adoration. I continued to pray, and God continued to ask me to trust me, and I. Initially, I couldn't. I just continued told him, no, I'm done. I struggled through this marriage, and I was done. But one day, as I was praying, I said, okay, Lord, I trust in you. I know you have purpose in this. I trust in you. And as soon as I said yes to the Lord, all the hurt and resentment went away. It was like a miracle. I was able to forgive him. Now I've been married to him for almost 25 years, and I am happy, and the kids have all grown now. They are in college, And I just wanted to share that story because the grace of God have really played an important role in saving my marriage. And it was just like a miracle. I couldn't believe it. I was able to let go of the anger and hurt and resentment. Now, as I remember that, when I look back to that, I just have a sense of sadness, but I don't have any anger or resentment towards my husband.
What a beautiful story, Monsignor.
Oh, wonderful. Mary, thank you so much for sharing that and your faithfulness and your courage. And, oh, just beautiful, beautiful idea. A wonderful example for all of us.
Mary, you're an inspiration to our other Relevant Radio listeners. Thank you so much for sharing. Tony in Newark, as we talk about the need to forgive, you're on with Monsignor Rossetti. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Something that I've learned from listening, because I was reading Father Amor, you know, the exorcist priest, and there's another exorcist, Father Ripperger, and some others, they say that confession is more powerful than an exorcist. So that should behoove us to want to go to confession, and so that we can forgive, you know, let it all go and not be influenced by, you know, spiritual forces. It's a holding on to unforgiveness.
Yes, Tony, I understand that the sacrament of confession is a powerful tool of casting out evil and bringing God's grace of forgiveness and peace. So, yes, I would certainly support that and affirm that.
Tony, thanks for listening to Relevant Radio 1430 in Newark. What kind of healing prayers should we gravitate to, Monsignor Rossetti, when we talk about forgiveness or we're seeking forgiveness?
Well, I think Mary's story was so enlightening to us. She knew, she was struggling with this, and she said, I did not want to forgive my husband, but she opened her heart to the Lord, and the Lord basically spoke to her, you know, sometimes more directly than others, but the Lord basically showed her that he wanted her to trust in him and let him heal her. And so I think we should, in prayer, we open our hearts to the Lord and say, Lord, show me what you want from me. Show me. And I think what happens is up comes, you know, hurts, pains, sufferings, angers, whatever, if we really sit in silence, and then that God shows us what he wants to heal in us.
And in Mary's witness, and it's funny, it happened to me. I had this whole laundry list of things I wanted to talk to God about before Mass on Saturday. And then I was walking up the steps into church, and I was saying, thank you, Holy Spirit. He said, no, why don't you just listen this time? And you know, you have to kind of train yourself to stop talking and just listen. As we've listened to Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, we have grown so much as we talk about the issues of forgiveness, the need to forgive, and also unforgiveness. Monsignor is an associate professor at the School of Theology and Religious Studies at Catholic University in Washington, D.C., and a licensed psychologist and a member of our Morning Family. Monsignor, thank you, and God bless you.